Are all Christians alike? Number 10 in the questions series. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday evening, January 17, 2010.
Let's pray together. Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us to be in your presence, to worship you in truth and spirit. Father, I pray that as we come to your word tonight, that you would open it to us. I pray for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to take the truth of your word, make application to our heart. As you speak, grant to us the ability to see, to hear, and the desire to allow your truth to shape us, mold us. That you would grant to us the willingness to allow your truth to make us the kind of people that you want us to be. A people who embrace and live the truth. Father, as you speak, may we hear. In Jesus' name, amen. You may or may not remember that several weeks ago when we began this study on Sunday evening, just trying to be practical about practical things that affect us as the people of God. Those things that we need to know on a regular basis, that God is at work in all of us all the time. That when we come to faith in Christ, God begins a project. He comes into us and He begins working in us. And because it is the work of God in us, we cannot fail. Because God is at work in us, He will bring to completion the work that He began. So the foundational principle that we've been building on all these weeks is that God is at work in every Christian. And because of that, we have hope. Because God is at work in the life and the experience of every Christian, we have assurance. The basis of our assurance isn't in our believing. It isn't in the depth of our believing. It isn't in the passion with which we believe. It is in the fact that God is doing something in us. That God, who began the good work in us, will bring it to completion. That's why we have assurance. That is where our hope is found. It isn't left to us. It is our God who saves. The other thing we need to understand is this grace that brought life to us brings sanctification and holiness. So I referred to that this morning as we were looking at Romans chapter 6. The truth revealed to us in the New Testament is that every Christian will bear fruit. Now, your fruit may not be the same as my fruit. You may have better fruit than I have. You may produce more fruit than I do. But we will all produce fruit. Why? Because it's God who's working. And God brings the increase, and God brings the growth. That's our assurance. That's our hope as God's people. Do you remember Jesus talking to the disciples, and He said, here's what you need to understand. I'm the vine, you're the branches. What does that mean? Life is in the vine. Life is in the vine itself, and as you are connected with the life-giving vine as a branch, then fruit will be produced in you because the life that's in the vine. And Jesus said, because of that, apart from me, you can't do anything. On your own, left to your own strength, left to your own insight, left to your own determination, if it's up to you, you're not going to accomplish anything. So see, the good news in the gospel and the good news about our growth in holiness is understanding that here's what God expects from you. Nothing. You can't do it. He will live the life through you. He will produce fruit through you. It's His work, not ours. Doesn't mean that we don't have a role to play. Doesn't mean that we're not involved in it. But it doesn't hinge on you. It isn't dependent upon you. It is God who is at work in each of us. He's going to bring us to completion. When He saves us, He begins this work. This conversion begins the work of sanctification or moving us along the road to holiness, conforming us to the image and likeness of the Lord Jesus. The promise of Scripture is that we as the people of God will grow in holiness. We will develop an appetite for the things of God. We will desire to know more of Him and more of His will as we learn to yield to Him and as we learn to walk in Him, because it is God who works in us both to will and to do. That's according to Philippians 2 and verse 13. So what Paul is saying is that it's God who places it in us a desire to do and the ability to do. It's wholly dependent on Him. It's wholly dependent on His working in us. He gives us both the desire and the ability. Therefore, we cannot fail. We will ultimately be presented to the Father pure and spotless because of Christ and because of the work of God's grace in us. Now, if all that's true, and we've been talking about it for several weeks, if all that is true, if God is at work in the life of every Christian, and if every Christian grows in holiness and righteousness, does that mean all Christians are the same? Does that mean that we're all alike? After all, it is the same God who is working in us with the same power that is moving us toward the same goal. So it seems logical to ask, are we all the same? Are we all alike as the people of God? I heard recently about a young woman who thought that everybody in heaven was going to look exactly alike. They were all going to be exactly the same. And you know why she thought that? Because the Bible says, when we see Him, we'll be like Him. So she thought that meant everybody was going to be and look just like Jesus. And to the extent that they knew what He knew, and they looked like Him. I know others that think that everybody's going to be 33 years old in heaven. Because Jesus was 33 when He was crucified in His resurrected body, and He is alive forevermore. All of us will be 33 years old when we get there. What does it mean when the Bible says we will be like Him? Doesn't mean we're all going to be the same. Doesn't mean that we're all going to be alike. How do you answer that question? Well, I think we begin by understanding that God is a God of endless variety. Let's look at God's two books. Let's look at God speaking through nature and God speaking through the Scripture. Because God does speak through both. Remember, the heavens declare the glory of God. By looking at the creation, by looking at the world around us and what God has made, we do understand something about God. We're able to learn something about who He is and what He's like. And then in the Bible, God has given us specific revelation to say, specifically, this is who I am. But the point is, whether you're talking about nature or you're talking about the Bible, God is revealing Himself. And if that's the case, when we study the creation, we find that God is a God of great variety. Everything in the world is different. There is tremendous variety in the world around us. Let's take it as an example, the plant kingdom. There are those plants that are so small that to really appreciate them, you need to look at them under a microscope. And when you do, it opens up all kinds of things. And you see the wonder and the intricacy of God's creation. There are other plants that are very large. There are some plants that are really thin. There are others that are very thick and bushy. There are some that cling to the ground and they grow along the ground. There are others that soar to the heavens. They're all different. Think about the purpose of plant life. There are those that provide food. There are those that provide fiber from which we make clothing or shelter or we make ropes or paper or other things. And then you think about the color and the texture. There's this endless variety to the creation around us. When we look at that and we consider it's revealing something to us of the character and nature of our God, one of the things the creation reveals to us is He's a God of great variety. Wouldn't it be a boring, awful place if everything was exactly the same? No matter how attractive or beautiful it would be, if everything's the same, it's monotonous. It wouldn't be beauty at all. But we could think about it in all areas of creation. We could look at all the things that God has created. We find the same thing. There is always variety, including man. No two men are the same. God is a God of great variety. God has made literally billions of human beings, and no two are alike. You ever said about somebody, boy, when God made him, he threw away the mold. And afterwards you said, and aren't you grateful he did? But it's another story. The truth is, God did throw away the mold after he made each one because we're all unique. We're all different. And again, wouldn't it be a boring place if that weren't true? Who wants to live in a place where everybody's exactly the same? It's the variety that gives beauty and wonder to the creation. God is a God of endless variety. He is a great and awesome God. We're all different. And when we come to faith in Christ, we bring all of our God-given differences with us. And when He saves us, He does not remove those differences. This is the wonder of our God. There wouldn't be anything really attractive about the Christian life if we and all of our variety and all of our differences come to faith in Christ and it spits out these little robots that are all the same and they think alike and walk alike and talk alike and act alike. No. God enhances our differences and who we are, and He maximizes them to their greatest potential. We're all different when we're created, and God leaves us different when we come to faith in Him. And here's the amazing thing. Do you understand God doesn't treat us all the same? And He doesn't give us all the same gifts and talents and abilities? Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. You know this passage, but I want you to look at it because it's important for what we're talking about. We are different. God made us different. And He does not remove those differences. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 4. Now he's talking about our being one, our being the body of Christ, and God gifting us within the body of Christ. And I want you to hear what he says. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the manifestation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, and here's the key, who appropriates to each one individually as He wills. So what's Paul saying? Paul is saying that all of us come to Christ in the same way. We come to Christ, unique individuals created in the image and likeness of God, marred by sin, but still bearing the image of God. We turn from our sin, we trust in Christ, and God gifts us, but He doesn't gift us in the same way. He gifts us according to where He wants us within His body for the purpose He has for us to serve the body of Christ, the church, for His glory, and He does it according to how He pleases, not according to what we want. You may desire a certain gift. You may desire a certain place of service. You may say, boy, I'd really like to do that, or I really wish I had this, and God may or may not give that to you. He will gift you as He pleases. God doesn't treat us exactly the same. God doesn't give each of us the same gift. Each is given a different gift. Each has their own place. Each is the work of God. The Holy Spirit works in each of us, but in different ways. So, as we ask the question, are we all alike? We're going to have to say, from what nature reveals to us and from what the Scripture reveals, certainly not. We are all different. If that's the case, then what does it mean? when it says we will be like Him? Well, let's look at it. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, you're God's children now, and what you will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. We're going to be translated. We're going to be changed. We're going to become like Him. And the word like means to be, to resemble, to have an appearance. What does it mean when the Bible says we're going to be like Christ? Does it mean we're going to know everything He knows because we're going to be just like Him? No. See, He is forever God and you and I never will be. You know, sometimes we mistakenly think, well, you know, when Jesus comes, we're going to understand all things. No, we're not. Because if you understand all things, then who are you? You're God. We're going to spend all eternity learning, and He's still going to be ahead of us. He will always know more than we know. Because He's God and we're not. We are limited in our capacity. What does He mean, we will be like Him? I think it means at least two things. First, it means we will be like Jesus in our moral character. What's going to happen when we are taken to glory? It's the final stage of our salvation when we are delivered from the presence of sin. When we are delivered into the presence of God, holy and pure. We will be like Him in our moral character in that we will be restored to where Adam and Eve were prior to the fall, holy, pure, righteous in the sight of God. We will be like Him in that our moral character will reflect His moral character and reflect it perfectly. We reflect it now, but imperfectly. We are now a reflection of who our God is, but it's a distorted picture. It's a distorted reflection. Then we will reflect His glory properly. We'll be like Him in our moral character. But second, I do believe it means we will be like Him in that we will share a body with the properties of His resurrected body. We will be like Him in that this body is going to be raised. Now here's the good news. It's not going to be exactly like this one. And for some of us, that's really good news. What is sown corruptible is going to be raised incorruptible. What is sown broken is going to be raised whole and pure in the sight of God. That's what it means to be like Him. Doesn't mean we're going to be Him. Doesn't mean we're going to know everything He knows. Doesn't mean we're going to have the abilities that He has. It means we're going to reflect His character and we're going to share in that resurrection body, a body like His. In other words, it means we're back to where we were before all of this nonsense started. We are pure and holy in relationship with God in a state of absolute glory. We will be like Him. But we'll all still be different for all eternity. Now, some of you, this might be discouraging to you. But I'll still have the personality I have. And so will you. It just won't be corrupted anymore. Think about that. See, I think what that means is, you got a sense of humor now, you're going to really have a sense of humor there. But it won't be biting and cruel and heartless. It'll be holy and pure. See, heaven isn't going to be, we're all the same and we're all dressed in the same robes and we're all sitting on clouds and we're all plucking the same harp, just looking at each other, bored out of our skull. It's going to be a world filled with wonder and variety and people who are different, who relate to one another in the same way we relate now, only without sin. Glorious thought. We all the same? No. And thank God we're not. We never will be. We're all going to be like Him, and that we're all going to share His holiness. And we'll all be like Him, and that we'll all have this glorious body, but we are going to be delivered from sin. So, here's the next question that comes to mind. If that's true, then what difference does the difference make? What's the practical working out of this? If we're all different and yet God is working in us the same power toward the same goal of achieving this holiness, of achieving this glorified state, how is it we're different and what does that mean as far as the way we live out the faith and relate to one another? Well, I think it means that just as we are not all born alike, and just as we're not all gifted with the same gifts, we all differ in our progress toward holiness. We all differ in our progress toward holy living. This is why it's a dangerous thing when we look at each other and we pass judgment on one another based on how I think you're doing, or you about how you think I'm doing. We differ. We grow at different rates. There are those who will be more like Christ than you. There will be those who understand things about God and His Word that you don't understand yet. We're all different and we're going to progress at different rates. We all strive toward holiness. We all put on the armor of God. We all pray. We all fight the good fight. And when we succeed, we give praise to God because it's all due to His grace. But we all succeed to varying degrees. We are to cooperate with God in this work, but God is the determining factor. Here again, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, and in 1 Corinthians 4:7, this is what he said. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you boast as though you didn't receive it? It's Paul's saying. Paul is saying to the church, you're all different. And here's the amazing thing of what he said. And the one who makes you different is God. Who is it that makes you to differ from someone else? Well, I really applied myself and they didn't. No. God causes the difference between us. Because He gifts us differently. We're all at different places. And that's why the Scripture is consistent to say, you let a man's master judge him. It's not your business to judge another man's servant. Now don't misunderstand me. We are to cooperate together. We are to encourage and rebuke one another. We are to be involved in each other's life and be a part of the process of holiness and encourage one another toward holiness and rebuke one another when we see our brother living in sin. But we understand that we're not all the same, and I don't judge anybody on the basis of where I am. And I don't beat myself up if I'm not where somebody else is. I need to be faithful before God to do what God leads me to do with my understanding of the Scripture and be pleased with that. I'm not saying we just sit back and we don't do anything and we say, well, it's God's business and God wants me to grow. He's going to make me grow. No, I strive. I struggle. I read. I study. I pray. But at the end of the day, I may never know what somebody else knows. I may never get the level of understanding that they have. I may never be able to overcome certain struggles that I have. But am I faithful to what God has given me and what God has called me to do? That's what matters. See, the problem is, you and I struggle with that because we are always feeling guilty for where we are and what we don't do and what we ought to be able to do. And so we put together our list of what it means to be holy and what it doesn't. And so I like to point out your weakness and my strengths. But here's the problem. Usually what I hound you about is something I don't have a problem with. And what I leave alone is what I do struggle with, because I don't want to talk about that. I may gain victory in an area you never get victory in, and you say, boy, I wish I could do that. I can assure you, it's not me. You know, I've dealt through the years with a lot of people who had problems with addiction. And I've had to tell them, I don't know what you're going through because I'm not there. I've never struggled with that issue in that regard. Okay? I never had a drug problem because I never traveled down that road. And I'll tell you why. It's not because of me. It's because of God's grace. It's not because of me, it's because of the grace of God. Because look at me. God knew if he ever goes down that road, I'll never get him back. I said, I know how I am with food. I don't even want to think what I'd be like with drugs. I don't want to think what I'd be like with alcohol. But my victory in those areas has nothing to do with me and my willpower and my strength. It has to do with the grace of God. And we're always going to be at different points because we're all different and we have different makeups and we came from different places. But we need to rejoice in one another because God is at work in all of us. And so what we do is we don't beat each other up and we don't beat ourselves up. We pray together and we weep together and we rejoice together when either of us has any success because we recognize it's all due to the grace of God and not to my insight, not to my intelligence, and certainly not to my godliness. It is due to the grace and mercy of God. And God is at work in each of us. Every parent knows that each of their children grow at a different pace. And that growth is not constant. It comes in spurts and stops. We all know that in practical terms. The same is true in spiritual terms. Christians grow irregularly. There's not this steady progress that you come to faith in Christ and by the 6-week mark you ought to be able to be here and then by a year and a half you ought to be here and by... We can't measure it that way because it doesn't come that way. There are times that you struggle and you struggle and you struggle and you struggle and you say, I don't think I've grown an inch in the last 6 months. I'm just in such despair. I'm so discouraged. I want to give up. I want to quit. But if you stop long enough and look back, you'll find that there is growth. I'm not where I was. Some may have a 45 degree angle in their growth. Boy, they're doing really well. Others may be at a 30 degree. Some others may be at a 20. Some may be at a 15. But they're always upward. They're always moving in the right direction. But if you were able to take and look at that line of growth, you know what you're going to find? It's not a smooth line. When you magnify it, it's jagged. Because you progressed and then you fell off. And then you progressed and you fell off. But overall, it's an upward pattern. See, none of us grow at this rate where we're just smooth sailing and we're just moving on and moving on. Isn't this great? Isn't this wonderful? We all struggle in this growth. We all stumble and fall. And sometimes we get up bleeding and we skin our nose and we scrape our knee. We're stumbling toward holiness. And we're all in that same boat. Our problem is we don't acknowledge it because we don't share that with each other because we think we're the only one who's struggling in this regard. I don't want to admit to everyone else my struggle because they're not struggling like I am. Yes, they are. They're just not struggling in the same area you're struggling in. But they're struggling all the same. Because we're all fallen, broken children of Adam who are on our way to glory. We're not there yet. And along the way, it's painful and difficult. And at times it feels like I progressed about 3 steps and then I took about 10 backwards. But over the lifetime, I'm growing. Over the lifetime, I'm moving on in Christ because God is at work in me. The differences between some believers may be significant, but not in relationship between the saved and the unsaved. By comparison, it's small and insignificant. Consider the words of Jesus, Matthew 13. He's telling the parable of the sower and the soils. You remember? Man went out and he sowed seed. Some fell in rocky places, and some fell in crowded places, and some fell along the path where it was beaten down. Others fell in good soil. You remember that story? Same sower, sowing the seed. The heart's what was different. But even there, when the good seed... See, now I know there are those that say, well, these are all different kinds of Christians. I don't think so. I think there's only one Christian in that whole story, and that's the good soil. Because all the others started, but they died out. They were ripped up and thrown away. There was no lasting growth. One believer in that passage, but here's the interesting thing. When you get to the end of the story, it says that they all produced a crop. Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. It was all good soil. And the seed was good. But the crop produced was different. Why? Because God determined it so. Because we're all different. God works in each of us the thing that is perfect, the thing that is right for each one of us. All the seed fell in good soil, and all was fruitful, but the fruit varied. No two Christians are alike, even in their fruit bearing. There's one other way that we're different. Our rewards will not be the same. I mean, just an honest reading of the Scripture, you have to know that. We don't get to heaven in a dead heap where everybody's the same and everybody gets the same thing when we get there. Those who are faithful in little will be given much. Some will have theirs taken from them and given to someone else, but they'll be saved. Our rewards will differ. There'll be varying degrees. But all rewards are due to grace, not our own strength. Therefore, there's no reason to boast. Do you remember when the mother of James and John came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I have a favor to ask. When you come into your kingdom, how about my boys sit on your right and left in the places of honor? Do you remember Jesus' response? It's important. Because Jesus did not say to her, I understand why you're asking that. Now, boys, you hear what your mom wants? Let me tell you something. Work hard, do your best, keep your nose clean, and stick with it, and you just might get that. That wasn't his answer. His answer was, it's none of my business. It's up to the Father who sets where. You know what he's saying? God determines the reward. It's not based on your hard work. It's not based on your dedication. You didn't earn it. You didn't earn the right to get there, and you don't earn any reward you're going to get there. It is all owed to the grace of God. That's Jesus' point. What does it mean? Why are we called to this kind of life, and what difference does it make? Growth and rewards are God's business, not ours. So here's what it means in practical terms. Our not being the same, our not being alike. First, you have no right to judge another man. You have every right to judge the fruit. They have every right to determine whether they're living for Christ or not, but you cannot stand over them in judgment. You have no right to judge another man's servant. Second, because that's true, you need to understand that you've got enough to worry about considering your own life and growth. You don't need to be worried about somebody else's. Now, again, that doesn't mean I don't care about your growth. Doesn't mean that I'm not involved in your growth. Doesn't mean that I don't meet with you and pray with you and we study the Scripture together so that we both might benefit and we both might grow. But what it means is I'm not responsible for your growth. And you're not responsible for mine. We'll both answer to God for our own. See, what's going to happen is you're not going to get to heaven and God's going to say, well, Rod, I'm looking at your record here. You're no R.C. Sproul, I'll tell you that. You know what R.C. did? He did this and this. Yeah, boy, you're no Billy Graham. You know how many people Billy Graham preached? You're not in the same. I'm not going to answer for anybody else and what they did. I'm going to answer for whether I was faithful to what God called me to. And that's what matters. And to understand that God created us, and when He created us, He created us all different. And part of that difference is He created us for a different purpose. We're all to give glory and honor to Him, but how we do that is different. I told you before that I think part of the problem in the Christian life and part of the reason why we get so discouraged is because we want to be a spiritual oak tree and God might have made you a spiritual boxwood. And you're going to be forever frustrated because you don't stand as tall as an oak tree and God didn't make you to stand as tall as an oak tree. How He made you is His business. And the purpose for which He created you is His business. And the joy of the Christian life is finding the place that God created you to fit and just enjoy it. See, I think God created certain people because He wants them to have a platform by which they're going to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. And praise God for that. But God also created some people that the only people they're ever going to stand before and have the opportunity to open the Word of God to is a group of four-year-olds and never more than eight at a time. And they're just as valuable and just as important and their service is just as great as anyone else who's ever lived. Because they're doing what God created them to do. And that's enough. So part of understanding this difference and part of understanding we're not all the same is I don't have to beat myself up because I'm not somebody else. But start rejoicing in who I am. And find, where's that place for me? Where's that place I fit? How can I best serve Him? And in my service to Him, bring glory and honor to Him. Are we all the same? No. Thank God we're not. We all alike? No. We're all gloriously different by His design and for His glory. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You that You are good and gracious, that You are merciful and kind, and that You made us for Your own purpose. You made us for Your own glory. And our fulfillment and our peace as the people of God is when we find that place that You've called us to. We find that area of service that we were meant to spend our lives in. And we give You glory and honor when we are what You made us to be. Father, I pray that You deliver us from the mindset that says, I've got to be what someone else is. And give us eyes to see who we are, uniquely created by You, to serve some specific purpose within Your body, the church. And teach us the joy and the fulfillment of simply being who You made us to be. Father, thank You for the day You've given to us. We're grateful for Bible study this morning, for worship this morning and tonight, and I pray that the things we consider today will be truths that guide us in the days to come, that we'll find encouragement, we'll find hope as we reflect back on the truth You revealed and as we look for ways we can live out that truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. Find us on the web at theplowman.org. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.